5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Rideside, DRS. How are we feeling this Friday morning?
That's good. A little bit more money in the account to fire away this weekend. Had a nice night last night and a no-sweat bet. Was certainly turned out to be that way, as that one clinched up for me. As a three-team parlay cashed in early in the fourth quarter, the NFL kicked off our weekend. We had college football yesterday, K-Dub. It's a football Friday here on the grid. And, yeah, we're ready for this one.
It was a fun slate of Thursday college action. We'll get you some thoughts on the Friday night games as well. We'll take a look at the weekend. But, of course, the NFL will dominate today. And as always, we start with Thursday night football. And it just can never be easy, can it? The Browns and the Steelers. Cleveland wins this one 29-17. We can talk about the big picture implications in a moment. But the end of this game, maybe for some, a moment of joy, but for a lot of others, complete despair. The Steelers really kind of hoping maybe a crazy play can go their way. The pitch play starts going, and you know how this goes. It ends in the end zone with Denzel Ward recovering a fumble, and all of a sudden a 23-17 final score becomes 29-17. The teaser players to the under, which I'm sure there were plenty of considering the game. Teaser players on the Steelers, a nightmare. And how about an awesome boost from the FanDuel Sportsbook? Nick Chubb touchdown, Najee Harris touchdown, Steelers plus 7.5, paying out, Donnie, plus 800, blown up because of absolute madness at the end of this game.
Yeah, and it makes us feel bad, Kevin. Like, I talk to you about this all the time. You probably get wins like that in the past, which you celebrate, but you don't remember as much as you get burned. Now, that's a shame on that one, because we talked about it before the show started. If that is a boost, Kevin, that's minus 125, bumped up to plus 100. You put the 50 bucks down on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you lose it. It's like, all right, you know what? It wasn't that lottery ticket. I still should have won my 50 bucks back, but I didn't. But the fact that it was 8-1 and it was nailed, dead to rights, you should have had that unless some miracle goes against you, and it did. My goodness. But every time they rerun that play here and you watch it as a highlight, you just start to cringe knowing, because if you have that, you know, teaser, parlay, whatever in your pocket, you know you won it. You're like, oh, no. Oh, no, don't throw it. Just tackle the guy. Don't throw it in the end zone. Oh, my goodness, it's in the end zone.
And, again, it's – some people are like, what did it matter? The game was already over the number the Browns had covered. Again, the teaser players, the live bets. At least if you had a Browns defense anytime touchdown score, that would have been
one?
A nice moment
have
for
that?
You.
Did we have that?
We tried to push our producer on it. Instead, he had George Pickens anytime touchdown score. And instead, Pickens made the greatest catch of all time. But for only 30 yards, it didn't result in a touchdown at all. Although, shout out to the FanDuel Sportsbook. They are giving people I believe, their money back, like, who bet the boost in free bets, which is absolutely fantastic. Here's the deal with this game. The Browns now 2-1. These first four games without there's a lot more games without Watson, but the first four games were all going to be winnable football games, right? They were favored here again. They're going to be favored in their next game at Atlanta. This needed to be a victory. They trailed at half, by the way. 14-13, we know how Mike Tomlin operates as an underdog, so it felt like a dangerous spot, but Jacoby Brissett was able to complete some passes. Amari Cooper and Njoku were great, and Nick Chubb is continuing a phenomenal start to this season. As our radio audience is here on a Friday morning, the early line on SiriusXM Channel 159, what was your main takeaway from Brown Steelers?
I think that the Cleveland Browns have a legitimate chance to hang around in the AFC until they get Deshaun Watson back. If you're asking me for Jacoby Brissett's start of how you want him to operate in 2022 until Watson gets back, just send that film in right there, Kevin. 21 of 31, 220, two touchdowns, no picks here, but more importantly, a passer rating of around 110. You saw that nasty offensive line get busy. Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in football, 113 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, an unbelievable backup running back to have. And how about this? I bet you the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones are sitting back watching that game last night going, why did we just give up on Amari Cooper under the guise of we just can't afford him anymore? Boy, he looked really good last night, looked good last week. This is a Browns team that has the talent to do some things. They're just waiting to see if they actually have a chance to do some things later in the season once Watson comes back.
This is the best Amari's looked since he first showed up
really
in
good.
Dallas,
yeah.
I would probably say. So it kind of speaks fine. And we talked about Amari from some season-long aspects. If he can find chemistry with Jacoby, he's going to be option number one, and he certainly is. My thought on Nick Chubb right now, he's 20-1 offensive player of the year, ninth best odds. He feels very live in the market. Four rushing touchdowns, averaging over 100 rushing yards per game. If he can command this backfield as the best running back on this team, which he is, he's better than Kareem Hunt, even though Kareem Hunt's great, he's going to be live in that race. Quickly on Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin asked at the end of this game, any thoughts on a change to either your quarterback or your play caller? Definitively no was the answer from Tomlin.
Yeah, Tomlin stated before the end of the training camp and preseason, he would actually hope that you can get a redshirt year in on Kenny Pickett. He's certainly sticking to his guns on that one. But I think we both can surmise, looking at that schedule, there's a bye week here at the perfect time, and we don't think the Steelers will be all that good. Maybe the change comes then. But right now, not on Tomlin's mind.
Pittsburgh's next game is home versus the Jets. They'll be favorites in that game. We'll see how Trubisky handles it through the first month of football, but a big win for the Cleveland Browns. We hit the ground running. Keep it here. It's your early line on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on SportsGrid, we are diving in to rest Week 3 NFL slate. There's actually a few games that could make an argument as game of the week, and this is certainly one of them. The Miami Dolphins versus the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins make this game a lot more interesting than maybe you would have thought if you pressed pause on their game versus the Baltimore Ravens when they trailed 35-14. They win that game 42-38. The Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football, dominant versus the Tennessee Titans. They win 41-7. Spread has been moving a bit as we see it now. It's a 5.5-point line in favor of the Bills down in Miami. Total here, 52.5 DRS. Your pick to win the Super Bowl with what looks like maybe their toughest test yet. How do you see this game playing out?
What a fantastic atmosphere that's going to be down in South Beach here. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, they had a lot of hype, including their own fan base, getting ready for the season. New head coach, get a new dominant wide receiver, and it looks great so far. The Buffalo Bills, I mean, you can't have a first two games of the season go as well with expectations even higher. You know, I have them to win the Super Bowl, and I'm looking at it now after two games, Kevin, to myself, wow, are the Bills actually better than I thought they would even be, even though I picked them to win the Super Bowl? So as we saw this line get as high as close to a touchdown, 6.5 in that range, If we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, money on this game, Kevin, just clicking on the stats department here, 73% of those tickets still coming in on the Buffalo Bills, 79% of the money on the Bills. So the public out here, a heavy influencer in this game. But we didn't see that number go up to 7. We're actually seeing it shrink a little bit to a minus 5.5. This is a tough one to get through because I've said many times, Kevin, after 2 weeks, you pretty much know what football team you have. Well, the one thing I do know is the Bills are really good, but so are the Miami Dolphins. There is an advantage to being at home here for the Dolphins. You're going to be playing in 90-degree muggy temperatures on Sunday. That's exactly what the Dolphins are used to. Buffalo Bills, not so much. But you sit back and look at this game overall, and you say to yourself, if you're taking the Miami Dolphins and you think they can stick around, that's fine. But at 5.5, which means under a touchdown, you're not going to bet this game going, well, I don't think they can win, but I think they can cover. You better have a good idea here that the Miami Dolphins can actually win this game outright. I'm not so sure they can do that. And sometimes, Kevin, it's not really about the X's and O's. When I watch the Buffalo Bills steamroll the Rams on the road opening day, and then I watch the Buffalo Bills on a Monday night game against the Titans absolutely blow the doors off them like they were playing a varsity versus JV squad, it's hard for me to say to myself, boy, I love the Dolphins in this situation at home. They should come to play. They will come to play. But I don't think sometimes it matters here. The Buffalo Bills, Kevin, scoring into the 30s almost seems like a rubber stamp every single week. Can the Dolphins counter that? Because quite frankly, what happens if that fourth quarter didn't go as planned here with that massive comeback? What would that line look like, and what would we be thinking psychologically what the Dolphins are going to bring to the table? It still would be the Buffalo Bills for me, but the Miami Dolphins are a good ball club. I just can't trust that, hey, the Bills are going to score 21 points this weekend and the Dolphins can grab it.
The tough part is, because of the way the Miami game played out, before I saw any lines, I said, I think I might be on Buffalo in this spot. Now, a short week, in division, early season, hot temperatures, it might be a little difficult to fully trust them. And then the number was a little bit higher than I thought it was. I don't think Miami is receiving the respect I would have anticipated with their comeback victory versus Baltimore. So that then would maybe redirect me towards a Bills team total. It's 29.5. And we could very well be in a spot this season with this Bills offense that you just keep betting this number until they start hanging 34.5 like they're a college football team. And last week we saw Josh Allen threw the ball on 21 consecutive plays. And some people might think, man, that's a little bit of overkill, establish the run. No. That's nonsense, and it's always been nonsense. And this is someone who wished they ran the ball and lost the Devin Singletary rushing prop over in that game versus Tennessee. Josh Allen is easily one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL and is the MVP favorite. Keep the ball in his hands. Nobody can touch Stephon Diggs early season. Receiving number, by the way, 80.5. If Gabe Davis doesn't play, you could argue that's a principal play over the total as well right now. The Bills team total is 29.5. It might be a scenario for me where seeing is believing that anybody can keep this team sub 30. Any thoughts, Donnie, though, as far as the total goes or any of the player props in this matchup?
Player props, obviously, we saw last night where we joked about, hey, there's some lottery tickets out there, and there were, and actually we got a little bit more scoring than we thought we would get. Actually, quite frankly, at halftime last night, you probably thought that game was going to cruise into the 50s. But if we're looking at the 52.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the total for the game, I'm going to say to myself, well, it's not a principal play, but boy, how could you bet under? Because if you think the Buffalo Bills are going to run it up, Mike McDaniel's a real creative guy, and they got weapons. It's not as if the Miami Dolphins game plan, Kevin, coming into this game is, hey, you know what? Let's slow it down and keep the Bills' offense on the field. They're going to try to go toe-to-toe here. And the one thing that's very comforting, even in a blowout situation, which you saw last week, 31-10 in that Miami Dolphins game, they can come back on you. They can score points if maybe it doesn't even matter. The reason I bring it up, last week we saw the Titans, and I know you were very invested in, you know, maybe Ryan Tannehill doing some damage in that game. You would think in the third and fourth quarter when it's a blowout, you dink and dunk down the field, you put up some points and get some yards. The Dolphins will be able to do that. So maybe I like the over 52.5 even more than, let's just say, a team total on either side.
And that could be understandable there. Is with what Miami did last week, you will feel in the mix the whole way on that total. Yep. I want to bring up another game that involves an AFC East team. It's the New England Patriots. They're going to host the Baltimore Ravens. We've talked about this game a lot on Moneyline, actually, so far, because of the way this number has been moving, despite where a lot of the bets have been coming in. The Ravens in Foxborough, a 2.5-point favorite, Donnie. The total here is 44.5 for Lamar Jackson versus Mac Jones.
Sensational stuff here. I love these games when you break them down because maybe it's not the most entertaining game of the weekend, but my goodness, when you see the lines, you start to scratch your head a little bit. We have to preface this by saying, remember last week? Well, now, hold on. How do the Patriots get to be a -1.5 favorite at the opening number against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Actually, good at 3 points by game time. That game ends up a 3-point win for New England. You get that same sort of vibe when you saw the opening line. You saw last week Baltimore go up and down the field of the Miami Dolphins. A late collapse, they lose that football game. Oh, they'll get that back here. And boy, the Patriots sink on offense. How can they score with the Baltimore Ravens? Then you see this week, maybe a little bit of issues with the throwing arm here for Lamar Jackson. But this line was at 3 all week long with a heavy public influence here going with the Baltimore Ravens. Then we see this go from 3. You think it would go to 3.5 or 4. It drops down to 2.5 where it currently sits at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Kevin. And still, if you click on the stats here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 90% of the bets coming in on the Baltimore Ravens. 91% of the money at the FanDuel Sportsbook is on the Baltimore Ravens. That line is dropping. You gotta love the Patriots. If you were a sharp handicapper or just watching and reading line movement, as we like to say, it's a stone cold line there for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot. A couple of props you also want to keep your eye on. J.K. Dobbins is plus 195 as an anytime touchdown scorer.
Yeah.
This is going to be his second full week of practice. If Dobbins does suit up, you'd have to imagine that number drops plus 140 or lower, I would think, at least. And if he doesn't play, you should absolutely be then refunded on your anytime touchdown score or bet. But also, take a look at this passing prop for Mac Jones. 241.5. If you're someone that consistently bets Mac Jones props, hold on now. That feels 20, yes, 30 yards, yep, higher than you're used to. The Patriots is not the story for that number, but it's the Baltimore Ravens, who have allowed 389 passing yards per game over their first two. Flacco 300+, and we know Tua last week was knocking on the door of 500. All of that makes me interested, Donnie, in the over 44.5 as well. If the Ravens defense can't get right, the Patriots should be able to score, maybe even through the air, and Lamar looks fantastic early season.
Yeah, and how about the anytime touchdown market here? If you're looking at from Mac Jones, where he's like, hey, maybe that secondary is still vulnerable for the Ravens. Jacoby Myers, plus 240. Hunter Henry, plus 240. Devontae Parker, plus 290. Nelson Aguilar, plus 290. Jonnu Smith, plus 310. If the way to beat the Baltimore Ravens is through the air, you might be getting some nice little tickets here on some of the wide receivers or receiving options for Mac Jones and the Patriots.
It's a really good point by you. At the moment, none of those players are listed. You do have Mark Andrews at 57.5 and Rashad Bateman at 44.5. Coming up against a quick break here on the early line. When we get back, we take a look at the two teams that played in the Super Bowl last season and see if they can bounce back here in week number 3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last year's Super Bowl featured the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, those two teams make up 2 of the 8 that have opened this season 0-2 against the spread. We'll see if they can get right here. And since at least the Rams have won a game. Cincinnati lost in week 1 as a 6.5-point favorite and in week 2 as a touchdown favorite versus the Dallas Cowboys. The number is pretty similar here in week 3, laying 6 versus the New York Jets. On the road, the Jets coming off of their incredible come-from-behind victory against the Cleveland Browns. Do you see this as a spot to trust Cincinnati?
It's hard to trust Cincinnati, right? You say, well, you know a lot about these football teams. After 2 weeks, they show you what they're made of. Well, they can't block for Joe Burrow. Sooner or later, if he keeps on getting hit, he sacked 13 times over the first 2 weeks. It doesn't even make sense, like that number. Like, oh, it's got to be an error. It's probably 1 or 3, right? No, it's 13 times. But against the New York Jets, it's one of those games where sometimes when you try to take the X's and O's out of it, where does this land for you? Coming into the season, high expectations here for the Bengals. They just made the Super Bowl, almost won the Super Bowl. You expect them to challenge for the division or at least make the playoffs and see what you can do. Kevin, they go 0-3. It's a wrap. I mean, it's a wrap. Like 0-2 is usually that death nail, but at least they give you the one extra game. Now it's from 16 games to 17 games. So you sort of get a reprieve. Okay, just end up going 1-2. This is a good game for them to have a matchup against the Jets because even though Joe Flacco led that comeback was kind of ridiculous, how about if Nick Chubb does score that touchdown? And then all of a sudden, the Cleveland Browns go into a prevent defense. Joe Flacco tries to throw it into triple coverage because there's three guys back there, and they win that game by double digits. Maybe it's a different outlook here on the Jets season. Didn't play all that well in week one, but did outgain the Baltimore Ravens. Lose again week two, come home. Boy, we're just looking to get to Zach Wilson here at this point, and there's no receipts in the back pocket of head coach Robert Saleh. But for me, I do think the Bengals get right in this game. Line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -6.5. It is down to 6. Heavy tickets coming in with the public here on the Cincinnati Bengals. But for myself, where I know people get fired over going 0-3. I'm not saying Zach Taylor is going to get fired after the season because, hey, he might right the ship. They might be able to get into the playoffs. But my goodness, who would have saw this, Kevin? 0-3 for the Bengals to start this season where they're not even really injured here. I know over the summer you had the surgery with Joe Burrow, but the big players in the Super Bowl, they're all live. 0-3 after a Jets loss? Boy, oh boy, that would be disastrous.
And the interesting thing is, I was someone that was lower than maybe, say, the market was on Cincinnati. But even the Bengals won the AFC, they were not favored to win their division, right? To some degree, people were expecting them to come back to the floor. However, your first three games are against Mitch Trubisky, Cooper Rush, and Joe Flacco.
Good point.
You can't, can't be 0-3. you absolutely cannot be. But I think you also hit on maybe the key point. The Jets were embarrassed in their opening game against the Baltimore Ravens. Non-competitive loss 24-9. And we were, a Nick Chubb kneel down away from them being 0-2 against the spread. A defense with any self-respect from them actually losing again by double digits. I mean, there's so many things that could have gone right to where this game's, you know, angle could have just been, listen, been tough for Cincinnati, but what a get right spot here versus the New York Jets. The narrative is a little different, but the line still suggests they are markedly better than the Jets, and I tend to agree. And also, in terms of the defense that they're playing, there's the T.J. Watt-led Pittsburgh Steelers, who obviously still had his imprint all over that game before being injured. There's the Micah Parsons-led Dallas Cowboys, who DRS told people could win Defensive Player of the Year. The sack numbers, all of that is off to a phenomenal start. And then there's the Jets. And that again, that's just a big drop-off from what we're talking about now here in week number 3 for Cincinnati. Do you think you could see yourself being involved with any of these star players for Cincinnati in the props market? I'm primarily interested in Ja'Marr Chase. We saw Lamar throw for 3 touchdowns in the game up against the Jets. We saw Amari Cooper last week get really, really right versus this same defense. Ja'Marr's -120 as an anytime touchdown score, 76.5 receiving yards. He's someone who has my eye.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players in this that should be able to bounce back and have good performances. Even if you're taking a look from a losing statistical standpoint, how about Joe Flacco through the first 2 games? This isn't as if he's pulling a Mitchell Trubisky and throwing for 175 a game, routinely getting up around that 300-yard number, 234.5. So if there's any MO, the thing I like about the Jets is they're not protecting Joe Flacco, saying, hey, Kevin, he's an aging quarterback, doesn't move all that well. Let's slow the game down and hand the football off. If they get behind, they'll let him throw close to 60 times as they did against the Baltimore Ravens. And he has shown the propensity to have some late-game comebacks also that you saw against the Browns. So the 234.5 has my eye here for the Jets. But also, rushing props, if you're taking a look, Joe Mixon, 73.5. If you think the Bengals are going to win this football game, and if you think the Bengals are actually saying what the public is saying to the Bengals, hey, guys, protect your franchise guy. Maybe you don't have to drop him back so many times. Hand the football off. I look for Mixon to actually have a really big game. 73.5 to the over makes some sense to me in this one, too.
Yeah, he's -140 to score a touchdown. Same number last week. Yeah, didn't find the end zone. But we're also coming off a game where, as we mentioned, Chubb had 3 touchdowns. The Rams go to Arizona. The Rams also 0-2 against the spread. Arizona was almost at a very similar number as they were getting blasted by the Vegas Raiders. Raiders parked a car. All of a sudden, Arizona wins outright and cashes as a moneyline dog at +5.5. The Cardinals are now +3.5 here at home. The total for this game is 48.5. We can get to the side in the moment, but I've been looking at this total all week long as potentially too light. We saw Stafford and the Rams offense figure some things out last week versus Atlanta, 31 points. Probably could have been more, but that was a team that was also up by three scores. And then all of a sudden, Atlanta comes back in a flurry and makes that a little bit more of a game than you ever would have anticipated. And for the Arizona Cardinals, their defense to me is not fixed. I mean, Vegas had 20 points in the first half of the game. I think the Rams have a really nice opportunity here to find the 30s once again. And the big boost of confidence I got was what I've now seen from Arizona 2 weeks in a row, Donnie, is they're going to keep coming. They found 21 points in garbage time versus the Kansas City Chiefs, and ultimately they found a ton of points versus the Raiders and made that a game and ultimately won it. Mostly here, I've been looking at this 48.5 towards the over.
Yeah, and where the real Arizona Cardinals please stand up is that the team that they played opening week, we're like, oh, this team doesn't look all that good, and my goodness, what's going on? The first half of the game on the road against the Raiders, you might have a fired quarterback and fired head coach once that ended because it looks like they weren't even going to find the end zone or put up any points. But also, which Rams team do we have here? It's a team that showed up opening day that sort of squeaked through that first half 10-10. They got their doors blown off in the second half from the Bills, whereas that team last week that we saw through the first three quarters before they collapsed at the end of the game. I'm more willing to say the Rams, obviously markedly more talented, but you know me. I'm still looking at the Cardinals as a viable option later in the season. Rondale Moore, need him back in the lineup, Kevin. How about Wednesday? No practice. How about Thursday? Right. No practice. It's a hamstring injury to a speedy wide receiver. If he doesn't line up, you would think that Rams defense can really hone down and pressure Kyler Murray in the backfield. It's a very public play to say, boy, we like the Rams, or at least I like the Rams, at -3.5. I don't know if the Cardinals could win this game, so therefore I can't just bet the Cardinals at 3.5 saying they might keep it close but not win but still cover the spread. The 48.5 is a pretty good one because the one thing you like is it looks like the Rams are on track on offense. They should be able to score against Arizona, and Arizona is going to run 100 miles an hour, Kevin, in the third and fourth quarter if they're behind. Good things should happen there. Give me the over in this game. I do think the Rams will end up prevailing, but if Rondale Moore was playing and healthy, I might be a little bit different tune on this game with a little bit higher on the Cardinals, but until I see them get their full complement of weapons back, I can't trust that Cardinals offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If you were able to get the Rams laying just the 3, I think that would be, again, the Rams conversation could have been very different if not for a blocked punt, scoop and score for the Atlanta Falcons. Like, okay, the Rams are fine. They smashed the Falcons, but that's not how that game played out. So now they sit here 0-2 against the number. And similarly, Arizona would nearly be coming into this game as viewed as, oh, this is one of the worst teams in the NFL. There's also a lot of big picture kind of things with this game here, Donnie. I think when we'll get to these other games, right? But Seattle is playing in a near pick 'em spread versus the Falcons. Winnable game, certainly. And the Niners are playing in a game where they're a slight favorite at Denver. You never know what happens with those, right? Nearly 50-50 kind of with the way the lines line up here. There's a very real chance that the winner of Arizona-LA sits in first place in this division after 3 weeks. For Arizona, if that's true, without Hopkins, what an unreal thing. For the Rams, we're looking at Cincinnati through this, you know, kind of ugly prism. Mm-hmm. If the Rams start 1-2, I know there's a lot of season left, but that will feel like a real letdown considering just the talent on this roster.
Oh, absolute letdown. Absolute. And also, it's not as if they would be 1-2 after, well, hey, the Cardinals are a good football team. They were completely healthy. DeAndre Hopkins is out there. Rondale Moore, you know, they don't have any issues whatsoever. Then you might look at it a little bit different. But I'm expecting the Rams. This is a game when you're a good football team. Mm-hmm. You go on the road and you handle your business within the division. That's the way I look at the Rams here. Be a little bit different, as I said, if Arizona was full gas in this. But you're right. What a difference if the season would be where, okay, you lost to the Bills. No big deal. You handle your business against a bad Atlanta team. And you go 1-2 in your division and divisional loss. That'd be a tough look for the Rams here, where maybe something isn't right with the Rams. They have a chance to really keep that ship in the right direction, though, with a victory for sure.
And here's another thing just to keep in mind for this game, Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's automatic. He scored in every single one of their playoff games. He scored in the final two games of the regular season. I think he scored in five of the last regular season games plus the entire postseason run. So that's 9 of 10. Now he scored in 2 straight to open this season. So that's 11 of 12 games. And 128 yards in the game number 1, 108 in game number 2. I mean, what can you even say about Cooper Kupp? Versus Arizona, he probably continues to feast. A lot more games for us to break down. You're in the right spot. It's the early line on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brady versus Rodgers. Can you believe it? Brady versus Rodgers, not game of the week. Again, you could easily argue it's game of the week. This is going to be one with a lot of eyes on it, no doubt about it. It's a close line right here. Tampa, a very small -1.5 with the money line here. -116 on Tom Brady at home. But what really jumps off of the page is this total, 41.5. I think you would have had a better time convincing someone 2 years ago that 41.5 would have been the first half total and not a full game number here with these two quarterbacks and these two offenses really at one point and time. It's Brady, it's Rodgers. What do you see here, Donnie?
Yeah, here's what I see in this game. Go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say to yourself, well, this is probably the first game of the week that they're going to post all of their prop bets for anytime. Touchdown, quarterback numbers, wide receiving numbers, running back numbers, superstars all over the place. And yet you go there this morning on a Friday and nothing is there. Why? Because there might be nothing at wide receiver for this weekend to actually bet on. And you normally say to yourself, okay, it's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Evans banged up here, suspended. He's not going to play in this game. You know, we don't know if Godwin's going to come back with a hamstring injury. They're signing Cole Beasley off the streets just to have active bodies in the room in case they need him on Sunday. And then you shift your focus to Green Bay. And in the offseason, we joked about it. Boy, what a terrible wide receiver room they have. My goodness, even when they're all healthy and available, that's an embarrassment. Well, let's go to the practice reports yesterday. Randall Cobb, best friend here, you know, security blanket for Aaron Rodgers. Didn't practice on back-to-back days. Alan Lazard, hey, limited practice Wednesday, is getting better. Did not practice on Thursday. Sammy Watkins, can he be the guy to finally lean on? He hadn't practiced on Thursday either. But hold on, Christian Watson, that's the guy they're going to lean on. Good young player. Let's see what he can do. Didn't practice again on Thursday. So maybe one of those numbers that we look at, 41.5, 42.5, wherever it ends up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, maybe that's way too much at this point. What are we deploying here? Because the reason why I clicked on the prop bets, I might not be able to get enough of a Leonard Fournette, you know, Jones in the backfield, you know, anybody that can actually get a carry here for the Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe the better way to go. Friday practice reports, Kevin, as we know, the most important practice day of the week that lets you know if they're going to be ready by Sunday. If you're the Packers and three of those four wide receivers are down, my goodness. And also, here's the genie ball I want you to answer for me. David Bakhtiari, will you be available on Sunday? Maybe.
I mean, you want to talk about it.
The best.
You answer no, and that is the answer until proven otherwise. Because he's practicing now, so you can't even really look towards the practice reports, right? And I know Bakhtiari wants to be out there. I only laugh because we have legitimately been asking this on a game-to-game basis since last season. As far as it pertains to will he, like, I've never seen kind of something like this there. It would be great for Bakhtiari to get it back out there. I don't trust it happens. I'll say, to me, how do you not like Tampa Bay in this spot, though, honestly? Because I know the sell point is going to be, oh, man, there no Mike Evans suspension, Godwin, Julio, we don't know who plays. Well, one, Green Bay's offense is similarly banged up. But the defenses here to me, DRS, are not comparable at all. The Bucs might have the best defense in the NFL. At least that's the return we're seeing early season. Justin Jefferson and the Vikings move the ball with relative ease in game number one. And I know the Bears only scored 10 points. Their two running backs were averaging like 9 yards per carry. They were just stuffed on the goal line there. Not even playing a real quarterback right now. In Justin Fields, I think that this is a spot. -116, Tom Brady in a home game. Somebody that's won over 80% of his home games in his career. It just feels like fantastic value on Brady. I'm just surprised to see how low did this suggest to you, by the way, the market is very low on the Bucs as opposed to being high on Green Bay, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who would have thought this? Tampa Bay at home at any point during the season, regardless of who's available outside of Tom Brady, you would figure they'd be at least at three or higher, just out of respect for home field advantage. And also, it's still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a very good defense and Tom Brady at quarterback. So it is showing some respect here for the Green Bay Packers. But my goodness, how much respect can you give them? Let's just say, Kevin, Friday practice report comes out and they rule out all of those wide receivers. The Green Bay Packers even have enough players to play this weekend? Are you playing running backs at wide receiver? I don't know.
I will say quickly, one thing I think to keep your eye on are some of these Aaron Jones props. With all these guys injured, the Packers are going to have to turn towards the run. And we're going to hit, the Bucs can't, you can't run on the Bucs. Ezekiel Elliott, 10 carries, 52 yards. That's 5.2 per carry. Mark Ingram, 10 carries, 58 yards. That's 5.8 per carry. In fact, every single running back on the Saints last week, over 4 yards per carry. Maybe the Bucs' run defense is not as good as we're used to, and that could open up some value on Aaron Jones and maybe A.J. Dillon as well. The Kansas City Chiefs, off of the mini-bye here, are a 5.5-point favorite against what I think maybe you could argue has been the most disappointing team in the NFL for a lot of people in the Indianapolis Colts, being a consecutive favorites to open versus the Jags and the Texans, and sitting right now at 0-1-1. The Colts, one of those teams we've talked about, yet to cover a number. High total here at 50.5. It's a tough get-right spot against the Kansas City Chiefs, but it is the NFL, Donnie, and sometimes we're in for a surprise. Do you think that's the case here?
I think we might be in for one because, again, you're under the guise of, now they don't have a win, but they're not 0-2. You can't start the season here for the Indianapolis Colts with an 0-2-1 start, and it's a shame that you're going to get the Kansas City Chiefs in your third games and not a layup, per se, like you're trying to root on the Cincinnati Bengals because they're taking on the Jets, but you are at home, and some things are going to have to change. If you're Frank Reich in that offense, something isn't working here with Matt Ryan. Now, maybe it's just as simple as, well, we really moved the football well in the second half against the Houston Texans with Michael Pittman. We didn't have him last week, and we completely got shut out. You can't tell me that with or without Pittman, you score a lot of points, you remove the football, and you don't at all if he doesn't play. That can't happen. You're too talented across the board on that offensive line and certainly in the running back room to get shut out on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But this is the most public betting game of the week, Kevin, at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Over 90% of the tickets, actually 92% of the bets coming in on Kansas City on the road. Spread money here, 93% on Kansas City. Now, keep in mind, the FanDuel Sportsbook opened this number up a little bit lower during the week, and we are seeing, you know, a big increase here towards the Chiefs. But it's one of those games where you have to get right, and not necessarily for me. I do think the Colts will be able to hang around this game. I think they have a legitimate chance to surprise and possibly win it. But it would be a team total that I'd be looking at on the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. Because the one thing we know, the Chiefs, as I like to say in Andy Reid, they're not going on the road with Patrick Mahomes to slow the game down. They're going to try to torch you. They're going to try to get into the 30s. So in the second half, which they weren't able to do last week, talking about the Colts put up any points at all in blowout fashion of a game, I think they're going to be able to do that this week. And you're not asking for a lot. Three touchdowns out of the Colts. Put it this way, Kevin. The Colts don't get three touchdowns. They lose by over 14 points in this game. They better score.
22.5 right now for that Colts team total. So it's not a bad look. And for Indianapolis, it is your home debut. Matt Ryan is someone that has historically been better at home. We'll see if that translates out of Atlanta and into Indianapolis. If you get Pittman back, if you get Shaq Leonard back as well, it's a big boost. And here's the other thing. Let's not forget the narrative around the Chiefs year over year felt like they do not cover numbers but find ways to win. It would not surprise me if this game finishes up 31-28 Kansas City. Not in the slightest. So I understand the world where these 5.5 points are too valuable. As we often talk about, home field advantage math. If Kansas City was laying 10.5 at home, you probably would be on the Indianapolis Colts right now catching 5.5 in Indianapolis. Here's another team laying a big number. The Philadelphia Eagles, 6.5 points on the road for the Birds against their former quarterback Carson Wentz. This total here is 47.5, and it does have my attention. One of the very few teams that are 2-0 to the over early season is the Washington Commanders. I think that might stop here. The Philadelphia Eagles have been covered in glory, and understandably so, for what their offense did versus the Minnesota Vikings. But I think we're not seeing enough credit to what their defense was able to do. Holding that Minnesota team to 7 points picking off Cousins three times, holding Justin Jefferson under 50 yards for the game. How about Dalvin Cook? 6 carries, 17 yards. That's less than 3 yards per carry. I think the Eagles right now, when we talk about their season-long projections, we were not talking about a team that's, oh, this team's going to score 35 every game, and they can. We love what we're seeing from the offense, but it was also the defensive side of the ball, a team that's typically difficult to run on, and a secondary that has, again, just been out to an unbelievable start. Secondly, Washington's rush defense right now is an embarrassment, a disgrace, and could very well be slaughtered here by the Eagles. If that's so, Donnie, it keeps the clock moving. I'm looking at Washington, Philly towards this under right now at 47.5.
Yeah, a few things to take a look at in this game, too. Obviously, Carson Wentz, who you see reading the reports all week long, he understands the magnitude of this game. He also understands that he has to still solidify himself as the starting quarterback here for the Commanders if he wants to have a future with the Washington Commanders. 47.5, it is a legitimate number. It scares you a little bit because how potent that Philadelphia Eagles offense is. But again, gives you a little bit of pause by saying, all right, outside of that game where they really took their foot off the gas pedal against the Detroit Lions, they really focused in on a very good offensive team in the Minnesota Vikings and completely shut them down, even including starting on short fields for the Minnesota Vikings that they weren't able to convert into points. Now, what's not up here just yet, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook are the defensive props. The reason I bring that up, we know Wentz likes to throw interceptions. He might probably will throw one against the Philadelphia Eagles. We know he likes to throw touchdown passes, but more importantly, in order to throw interceptions and also to throw touchdown passes, Wentz likes to hold the football there to try to make that big play. So maybe some of those sack props, once they get up for the Philadelphia Eagles, will start to make some sense. But also, let's take a look at the prop market here. This is very rare, Kevin. If you look at the anytime touchdown scoring props, Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, is the favorite in this game, and he's not even at like a plus 150, Kevin. He's a minus 120. When the Eagles get into the red zone inside the five-yard line and line up in that shotgun formation, it's 50-50 whether he's legitimately going to hand that football off on that RPO or that read option or just carry it himself. If as a betting man going into this game, I'm not paying that minus 120, but in the back of your mind going like, it would be a shocker if Jalen Hurts doesn't score and the Eagles score at least three touchdowns. That's how they operate. So he's being priced in a market that's even higher than Lamar Jackson. Shows you the respect that Jalen Hurts gets with his feet.
Higher than even a Josh Allen. I'm glad you mentioned the anytime touchdown market as well. Carson Wentz has thrown 7 touchdowns to start the season, 4 in game number 1, 3 in game number 2. Now, I think under, but let's just say he throws 2 touchdown passes, which, by the way, you're getting a nice price at plus 120. Terry McLaurin, plus 230. Curtis Samuel, plus 240. Jahan Dotson, plus 280. Those are really nice payouts there on these Washington wide receivers to see if they can come in. Also, just quickly to your point about the sacks, Wentz sacked 5 times last week versus Detroit where it was a very obvious game script. If that happens here against Philadelphia, we could see a similar situation play out. I do agree with you. Very interested in the Wentz pick market here. The Eagles now 4 picks in 2 games. Wentz, 3 picks in 2 games. That could open it up. One quick point, Donnie, because I want to try and get this in. The Eagles wide receiver room. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. Who are you trusting the most out of that 3?
Dallas Goedert. I mean, even looking at the prop market, 46.5. He's going to be targeted 5 to 6 times. He's a big play tight end. I actually like him to get 50 yards or more. I think it makes sense.
You were all over, though, Devonta Smith last week. We saw the Eagles get him over 80 yards. A.J. Brown, still in limited work, got his. Again, it's a very talented pass-catching room for the Birds. NFL, take a break. Baseball, you're on deck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep things moving here. Major League Baseball. We'd love to get you a play of the day. Quick note. Aaron Judge yesterday almost hit what would have been one of the most memorable home runs of all time. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, versus the Boston Red Sox. Hits a ball 406 feet to dead center. And instead of a walk-off win that would have tied matters at 61, the game did go to extras. The Yankees ultimately won it. But a lot of people calling for a cameraman's job because everybody was sold a bag of goods that ball was maybe never going to land. It was fantastic scenes, though. We'll see if Judge probably this weekend, Donnie, you think gets at least to 61, you'd have to imagine. Maybe breaks the record.
Yeah, you would have to think so. That's going to take place. And also, maybe it was Apple that had technology of maybe a microchip in that baseball that made it fall a little bit short of a home run designed to give them some prime time action coming up this weekend.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We are looking at the AL East, though, today for your play of the day on the baseball board. What do you like?
Yeah, yesterday, by the way, took a push here with the San Diego Padres and a team total of four. Manny Machado's solo home run in the eighth inning was enough to get me a push. That's fine. Let's go ahead and win some money tonight. Jose Urquidy due on the mound here for the Houston Astros. And typically, you wouldn't be looking to fade the Houston Astros or try to take an over against the Astros, would you? Absolutely, we're doing that on a Friday night. 4.74 xFIP number for Urquidy. Low ground ball percentage here of only 31%, which means the balls could possibly be in the air. But how about this? 44 batters, the right-handed pitcher Urquidy has faced in the last month, a 410 weighted on base percentage and a 275 ISO power number. Kevin, why is that important? As many as seven left-handed batters in the lineup tonight for the Baltimore Orioles fighting for their playoff lives. And how about this price? A team total over 3.5 at a plus 106 price. We're going Orioles to get four runs tonight in Camden Yards and cash that ticket.
Fantastic stuff. Bradish last night, by the way, against the Astros, I believe started that game. Six perfect innings. They won 2-0. Quick shout out to Cleveland Guardians. They played Minnesota for five games. They won four out of the five. And then they went to Chicago to play the White Sox and swept that team for three straight. A seven-game lead in division. Cleveland is going to the playoffs. Game of the week starts hour two.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.